Samson. You know what? I'm skipping Samson this week. We're going to come back to him and move on to Jephthah. So we're going to skip Samson for a week and come back to him. Want to look at Jephthah and kind of go through the order of Judges here. And so go back to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. And we find out and we see about the faith of Jephthah. And I was mentioning to some of the guys before church, this is one of maybe the most disputed passages of Scripture concerning Jephthah and what he did throughout this passage. And so we're going to look at this tonight, and we're not necessarily going to get into the controversy, just kind of retell what is taking place here and how Jephthah got here into Hebrews chapter 11. So let's begin reading tonight in verse number 1 of Judges, and we'll read down through verse number 11, and we'll look at a few things here tonight. Let's read. The Bible says, "Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us, and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, I ask that you would bless the reading of your word. As we view this event throughout your scripture, God, may we focus upon what you would have for us. God, may we be able to apply these things and these principles to our own life, that we might increase our faith as Jephthah had. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So here in the first 11 verses, we're introduced to this man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah, of course, being named in this great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, as we have been going through and we see each event and each man and each woman that is mentioned here, and how they have affected the history, if you will. And then, of course, God recording for us here in the book of Judges that we might come back and see what is taking place. Now, in the first three verses, we find the introduction of Jephthah is very, very brief, but very, very precise as far as what was taking place in his life and in the life of his family, of his father, as it gives the generations here. Jephthah, of course, being thank you. Being a Gileadite in Jerusalem, not in Jerusalem, but in Gilead, but in Israel. And the Bible describes him as again a mighty man of valor. Now we find this same description of someone else that we have looked at previously, that of Gideon. The Bible described in the very first mentioning of Gideon that he too was a mighty man of valor. That means he went over and above and beyond, had great courage to do many things. And so right off the bat it says, Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Now that's interesting there to note. Now it may not be important to note, except when you get to verse number 2, Gilead's wife bare him sons. Now this is kind of giving some description of Gilead and his life and even his lifestyle of what was taking place there. He had been with a harlot. She had a baby. Evidently, Gilead had brought Jephthah into his house. We can't say whether or not he brought the strange woman into his house or not, but we know he brought Jephthah. And Jephthah was raised by Gilead, and they grew. And as they grew, apparently after Gilead's death, from what we can tell and gather, they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him in verse number 2, "Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." And so I want you to notice in these first three verses the rejection that is taking place. The rejection that is taking place in Jephthah's life. And of course we know that as we can see here, the rejection had absolutely nothing to do with Jephthah's character. This was not a rejection necessarily of Jephthah himself, but rather where he came from. And Jephthah, we're finding that he paid the price for his father's sin. As he was cast out there, and Jephthah then accompanies himself with some men. And you can see as Jephthah, he flees from his brothers in verse number 3, says he dwelt in the land of Tob, and there gathered vain men to Jephthah. And so here's Jephthah, he is rejected, he's sent out of his father's home, and he is now dwelling in the land of Tob, and the Bible describes these vain men coming to Jephthah, and they went out with him. Now this would suffice to say that whenever the Bible describes a group of men going out, they were doing something in particular. They were typically men of war, men of means of aggression, if you will, and somewhat of a mercenary type status. They weren't really an army of a land, or so to speak, or anything like that, but yet they would go out and they would fight and they would get spoils and they would do these things. And he had some men that went out with him. Now, we can gather that because when we see not just the rejection, but we see the request coming up, and we see how the Bible says that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, there is something taking place here. But as we see that through this, God is using something in the life of Jephthah. While he takes this negative event in his life, I mean, I can't imagine being rejected in this fashion. But we know that while rejection is hurtful, it is sometimes beneficial. And in this case for Jephthah, it was something that was beneficial because the rejection in Jephthah's life was preparing him for what would come next. And as we see in verse number 4, we find the request is coming from the leaders within Israel and those of Gilead. In verse number 4 says, "And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel." So here you have the Ammonites. They're here. So the cause is Ammon is coming. They're wanting to come and take over the land. And we'll see in the verses to come that as they called Jephthah here to be their leader, to be their captain, is what they're wanting. Ammon had a little bit of a misunderstanding as to what was taking place many years before. As the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea, and Jephthah, as he tries to use a little bit of diplomacy here to try to figure out why Ammon is even coming in and against Israel, they are giving the reason and the excuse as to what happened when the children of Israel came through the Red Sea, coming into the Promised Land. But we see this request first. But the cause that is taking place is Ammon is coming in to take over the land. In verse number 5 it says, "And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob." Now, why? Why did they think, or why did they come to the conclusion that, hey, maybe Jephthah could help us? Remember, he was going out and he was making war from what we can gather from verse number 3. He was a mighty man of valor. He obviously had built some sort of reputation as a man that could lead and that could take part in helping these people in Gilead, his family. And so we see the character of their request is so that he might be their leader. In verse number 6 it says, "And they said unto Jephthah, Come, be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me? Did not ye hate me? He said, And expel me out of my father's house. Why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress?" We see this questioning of Jephthah. He says, hold on a second. It wasn't too long ago that as I was in my father's house, didn't do anything, you said leave, you expelled me, you sent me out, you sent me away. He said, but now you are in a need, now you have something, why are you come now to me in this time of distress? Verse number 8, "The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore, we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead." You see, they really don't even answer the question. Just kind of move on past it to say, well, you know, therefore we turn again unto thee now. There's not much taking place here. They said, we can't do this. But we know you can, and we want you to be our leader. We want to make you head over all the inhabitants. And so this request that they have comes with a commitment. Jephthah says in verse number 9, he says, "If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?" He says, am I going to be in charge? He says, am I going to be the leader that you're telling me I will be? And we see this response here of the request. Jephthah says, are you going to do this? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be our witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And so we see as Jephthah is here, it's kind of a strange dynamic, don't you think? The one they cast out, they're now turning to say, help us. We need you. We need your strength. We need your leadership. We need your help through this matter. In verse number 12, Jephthah sends messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land? And the king of the children of Ammon answered and said unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jacob and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. So we see what's really happening here. Ammon says, you came in, you took our lands, now give it back to us, and we'd like to even do it peaceably. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and he said, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. And when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, And Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, and he would not consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. And so what he's saying here, he's going through this this reason as to where are we going, what are we doing, why are we doing this? And he says, what you're saying here isn't true, and you can read through all of this. And so we find that they don't have the same idea as far as what is taking place. And in verse number 24, Jephthah says, why not thou possess which Chemosh thy God giveth to thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, then will we possess. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them, while Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns, and in Aor, in her towns, and in all the cities that be along the coast of Arnon 300 years? Why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? He says, you've had 300 years to do this. Why are you choosing now? Verse number 27, wherefore I have said not against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord be the judge. The Lord the judge be judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit, the king of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent to him. So here we have this exchange between the king of Ammon and Jephthah, again trying to do it diplomatically by saying, hey, what you're wanting here is ridiculous. It says for 300 years this has been, and you want to go back now? It says it's ridiculous. But the king did not hearken unto him. And what takes place next, we'll find the battle that comes. In verse number 29, the Bible says, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. From Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, and surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aor, even till they came to Minnith, even 20 cities, to the plain of the vineyards, a very great slaughter. The children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah, unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Here we have the faith of Jephthah in a pretty much in a different light than what we've seen in other passages. We saw where Gideon had placed the fleece out. Lord, if you'll do this. Lord, if you'll do this. Jephthah's was a little bit more involved. It was a little bit more serious. For he said back in verse number 29 through 31, he says, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, as he passed over through all of this, in verse number 30, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. The vow that he made was, whatever comes through the door of my house, I'm going to offer it to the Lord for a burnt offering. He made a vow before the Lord. Vowed that to him, a promise, a sacred promise. Something that had to be followed through with. We see the great victory that takes place as the Lord delivered into Jephthah's hand and they subdued the children of Ammon. In verse 33, Jephthah's excited. He's now going home. And the Bible describes to us a very vigilant scene here as Jephthah's walking up to his house. And the Bible says in verse 34, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him. Timbrels and with dances. She was excited. Her dad was home. You know, imagine this scene as Jephthah came in and told his daughter, I'm going out to war, but I'll be back. Hopefully. You know, anytime a man goes to war, it's one of those wonders. Will he? Won't he? Didn't know what would happen. So when she sees her father afar off, she got excited. She got her timbrels and she goes outside and is rejoicing, even dancing as he returns home. The excitement was there. And in verse 35, as Jephthah saw her, the Bible says he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. While she was joyful to see him, he was not really too joyful to see her. Because he remembered his vow. He remembered what he'd promised the Lord. The first thing that came through his doors, he would sacrifice as a burnt sacrifice. He said, you've brought me great trouble. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Jephthah's daughter was evidently raised as a God-fearing lady. For she says in verse 36, my father, if thou hast opened my mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. She says, father, whatever you said, just do it. Whether she knew exactly what he had said or what he had done, I have no idea. But we see this coming to pass. It's his only child. Doesn't have any other sons, doesn't have any other daughters. And there's nothing to say that Jephthah will have any more. We know nothing about Jephthah's wife. It's possible that she was still living. It's possible that she was gone. It's possible that it was just Jephthah and his daughter here. So what does all this mean? The controversy here that has been probably debated for hundreds of years. So we have the scripture and we read about this. Is did Jephthah offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice? There are a couple of differing opinions on this. One being that Jephthah had no right to offer a burnt sacrifice to the Lord, being as though God had already set up in the temple where sacrifices and burnt sacrifices were to be offered, and so therefore the Lord would not accept his sacrifice as a burnt sacrifice there. And so therefore, based upon that, it is supposed that as Jephthah's daughter went and bewailed her virginity, being a virgin, not going to bear any children, that Jephthah then took his daughter and placed her as a sacrifice for temple service in the tabernacle for the rest of her life, never marrying, never having any children, and therefore the daughters in verse number 40 of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year, so that they went to the temple with her and lamented with her that she would never have any children because of the vow that she had vowed. That's a nice theory in that, but it's all supposition in that. The other side of thing would be that Jephthah followed through with what he vowed, and he offered his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. I can tell you this, I have no idea. If you have an idea, please share. I have no idea. I know what the Bible says in verse number 39, though. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. That's what the Bible says. And while we might not know until we cross the gates in heaven and we meet Jephthah, who was a man of faith, not knowing what would come to pass, but trusted the Lord. We know that. We know Jephthah was a God-fearing man. We know Jephthah feared the Lord and vowed to him a sacred vow. Followed through. Whether how he followed through with it is to be determined only by God, not by us. But we know that through Judges chapter 11 and through Hebrews chapter 11, Jephthah was a great man of faith. What is your faith tonight? As we've been going through these passages, as we've been going through these events through Scripture, has your faith been challenged? Has your faith been strengthened to where you might take a step out of maybe your comfort zone, taking a step out of what you might think you want to do and trusting God for what He would have you to do? Where is your faith? Would it require a vow? No, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God has ever required a vow. But yet vows have been made and vows have been taken. What are you doing with your life? What is your life? Where is your faith? Is it in God? Remember what faith is. Faith is an action. Something that fluctuates. We have great faith. We have great faith. We have little faith. We have in-between faith. Where is your faith tonight? Would you step out by faith and serve God? Jephthah did. We know that. What about you? Where is your faith? Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Our lives are but a vapor. I wish I could speak matter-of-factly as what happened to Jephthah's daughter. But I can't. But where is your faith? I can speak matter-of-factly there. Is it increased? Has it decreased? As we come close to the end of this year of 2016, when you started it, at the beginning of this year, your faith great and now it's weakened? Or has your faith been strengthened? Where are you at? Our Father in heaven, as we come to you, God, when we come to this story and this event in the life of Jephthah, Father, it leaves many questions in our minds. It leaves us wondering. But Father, one thing we don't have to wonder about is your goodness. And Father, it's by faith that we take this event, and it's by faith that we take your word for what it says, that we might trust in you and you alone. I pray that through this series that our faith would be strengthened, that it has been and will continue to be. Use it in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.